Good morning. Welcome. Big warm welcome to everyone this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And we know that each and every one of us will be blessed by being here today. Today is the second Sunday of Lent. And this is the day when Jesus in our scripture reading declares that Herod is a fox and that he has no control over Jesus because Jesus is a citizen of heaven. And we are extolled to be the same, to be citizens of heaven. So right now, I will get out of your way and hand you over to Laurie. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Our announcements for today, self-denial food bank donations. So during this period of Lent, we are encouraged to make donations of non-perishable food items for the food bank. And we have a tub in the foyer for this. The Bible study group meets each Thursday at 10 a.m. And as we've been told the last few weeks, it's the bad girls of the Bible. So I really wish that I had Thursday at 10 a.m. available because I'd love to be studying that one. And contact Sandy or Vicky if you'd like to attend. Everyone, of course, is welcome. Fellowship Day of Prayer is March 1st, 1:30 p.m. And I have a little bit of extra information on that. The speaker is Sian Lewandijk, and it's going to be here at our church, and lunch will be served, and of course everyone is welcome. And remember, on March 10th, that's the daylight saving time begins, so we set our clocks ahead by 1 hour, and Pat has an announcement.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it beautiful out there? Back in November, December, sometime before Christmas, Marge approached me and asked if the 3C players would be willing to do the entertainment for the adult supper in the form of a play. And so we are. But because in my great wisdom or ungreat wisdom, I chose one that is coming in rather expensively. We are going to do the play twice. April 12th is for the general public and does have a ticket attached to it. April 13th is for the adult supper. So, and there will be probably a donation box. So if you are not able to come to the adult supper, but you'd still like to find out how William Shakespeare, who died in 1616, and Agatha Christie, who died in 1976, can possibly be in the same place at the same time, you'll just have to come and find out. So it's called Murder by the Book. It's a mystery comedy, and it stars some of our well-known actors and actresses from our church, Dan, Dale, Lori, and Claire, Lurie, and Sandra. And then I've had to import a couple from Carstairs.
And Mac.
Oh, and Mac. Oh, yes, we twisted Mac's arm. Yes. Mac is going to make her debut on April 12th. And it's a lot of fun. So you'll have noticed that the slide behind me, that is just the center section of the set. If you've been wandering in and about the church during the week, you'll have noticed that the sanctuary has changed into a living room. And that's just the center portion of it. It's a fun play, and I really hope that you guys can all come and enjoy the talents of the people in this congregation. So if you need tickets for the 12th, though, do let me know. I'm restricting it. Because the set is so big, we end up losing a lot of seats on the sides because of sightline problems. So I'm only releasing somewhere between 80 and 90 tickets on the 12th. So, and I'm just about half sold out already. So please let me know if you require tickets. Thanks a million, everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thanks, Pat. Is there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
If you need any further incentive, I believe that in this play, Mac gets to smack somebody over the head with a rolling pin. If that doesn't whet your appetite, what will?
Don't tell anybody.
Can't tell you it's done. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. We read in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Get ready to tap your feet. We welcome our youth praise to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. We'll be doing two songs this morning, both familiar. The first one is "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." I'll just check my volume here. All right. Shine, Jesus, shine. Number 2 in the red chorus book if you choose.
Shine, fill this land with
Big thank you to our youth praise. It's great to see the young people up here and Phil with all of their musical talents. Sorry, young Phil. That's what I meant to say. Young Phil. Utilising the gifts that God has given them in the musical vein of, to the glory of God, and we are so thankful. And you may be wondering where Peggy is this morning. Well, just to let you know that Gordon had a little bit of an upset, and Peggy's just staying with him to keep him company, but I understand that he's reasonably stable and he's not too badly. But because of that, we have more musical talents going to be displayed on the piano, and I know Kathy's involved, and I suspect Pat's involved somewhere, and who knows who's involved. We are blessed with an abundance of talent, and we praise the Lord and we are thankful for that. Shall we bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our wonderful and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given to us once again this wonderful privilege, this great joy of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And as we come into this place of worship, Lord, into this sanctuary of grace, we are surrounded by your love. Your love shines out from the faces of all of our friends here, and we just feel so good, we feel so warm. We are in this wonderful fellowship, and we thank you, Father. And so we pray, gracious Lord, as we gather together to worship you this day, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that each of us here today, Lord, may hear your voice as you speak to us through all of the different aspects of our worship time together. We come to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We seek to lift high his name. We seek to bring honor and glory to his name, which is above every name. And we pray, Lord, as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is Genesis 15, 1 through 12, 1 through 12 and 15 through 17 through 18. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these things to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great rivers, the Euphrates. Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 27, 4 through 14. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, Look to you. Seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will see. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have given me life.
Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Now it's our joy to have Youth Praise back up here to lead us in our special music. Thank you.
There are no words, no phrase I could create. There is no melody that I could make. How do you sing about a love so deep without feeling like you missed something? Oh, I can try, but I cannot explain.
This kind of love,
this kind of love, this kind of love.
I bet your foot was tapping there, was it? You couldn't help it, could you? That was great. Thank you so much. That was excellent. Thank you. Very, very good. And just before we have the offertory, let me tell you, before I forget to tell you, that the bulletin says that Maren is going to be providing the offertory music. I got the right day for Maren, but the wrong month. Maren is providing the music 24th of March. On the 24th of February, Claire is presenting our offertory music, and your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace, for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. And a big thank you to Claire for that music during the offertory. It was beautiful. Thank you so much. The children would like to come and join me, please. You've got to get here early if you want to get a seat. Okay, Grant is going to put a picture on the screen now. Now then, these two birds, they both get called a chicken hawk. Now I think that's strange because do you think this is a chicken or is it a hawk? It's a hawk. You think... Okay, so we've established this is not a chicken, it's a hawk. So why do they get called a chicken hawk? Oh, everybody knows this. Why? Sorry? The pattern on the feathers. No. Sorry. You sit and have a think.
Because they eat chickens?
Because they eat chickens. Now that could be a good answer. Who thinks that's the reason? Yes. Put your hand up if you think that's the reason. Okay. Okay. That's what we think. Now then. Only one of these hawks actually chases chickens. They both get called the chicken hawk, but they are not both chasers of chickens. Only one of them is. The one with a stripy tail, that's called a Cooper's hawk. Is that right? Yes. I thought it was. I thought I'd read that somewhere. That's that one with a stripy tail, the one on that side, is called a Cooper's hawk, and it lives in Europe, and it's the one that chases chickens. That's the one with a striped tail. The other one, the red tail hawk, where do you think it lives? Right here, yeah, we've got them around here. We see them, don't we, all the time. Red-tailed hawks. And it doesn't chase chickens at all. It's just that other one that chases the chickens. Now then, Grant's going to put another picture up here. On one side, we've got the Cooper's hawk. And on the other side, we've got a chicken chick, a little baby chicken. Now then, if these two birds... we're going to have a fight. Which one do you think would win? The little baby chick. You think there's a catch in this, don't you? Does anybody else think any different?
Yeah.
If these two had a fight, which one do you think would win?
Hawk.
I mean, let's think about it. The hawk. What kind of weapons does a hawk have to fight with? Talons. Those big claws. No, it doesn't have shoes. Talons, yeah. And what else? What do you mean? It's claws. Great big claws. And it's got this great big beak. And it's pretty fast as well, isn't it? Pretty fast. Yeah, hawk eyes, sharp vision. All these are its tools to win in a fight. What about the other one? What about the chick? What kind of weapons does a chick have? What do you say, Sophie? His parents. And that's a good answer. Because the chick has got a mom. The chick has got a mom. And when that Cooper's hawk goes flying down to attack a chick, what do you think the mom does? Well, Grant's going to show you another picture. And that's what the mom does. The mom spreads her wings, and the chicks go underneath the mom's wings. And when that big Cooper's hawk comes sailing down, and it looks down, it won't attack. Because a hen is too big for it to attack. It can't do anything with a hen. It's the little chicks it wants. And so the hen spreads her wings and she protects her chicks underneath. Jesus said in our scriptures today that that's how he can look after us. If we go to Jesus to be protected by him, he says, like a hen protects her chicks, he will protect everyone who belongs to him. We belong to Jesus, and that's how Jesus cares for us. So shall we just say thank you to Jesus for that? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, and whatever we do, wherever we go, you will always watch over us. We thank you and we pray in your name. Amen. I think it's Sunday school time. Thank you. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God the hymn number 61, Lavish Love, Abundant Beauty. Come to our time of prayer, and sometimes I wonder if this might be God's favourite part of the service, because this is when you, all of his people, open your hearts, open your minds and speak to God. And it is when we speak to God that he very frequently speaks to us, and so we listen as we pray in the many different ways that God can speak to us. And we know that that will happen if we allow it to. So shall we now once again bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, We thank you that in your grace and mercy, you choose to breathe life into your people and into plants and into all creatures, great and small. We are thankful that you choose to watch over us and to protect us, just like a hen gathers her chicks under the safety of her wings. You do so much for us, Lord God, even though we so very often choose to go our own way in the world, to make our own choices and our own decisions, which sometimes include rebelling against your will for us. We ask you to forgive us, Father. Your holiness and your glory would have been beyond our imagining were it not for the sacrificial life of our Lord and our Saviour Jesus, your beloved Son, our beloved Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you give to us, life full and overflowing, when we choose to give our lives back to you. Help us, Father, to so live in your grace and in your holiness that your light may shine from us to guide others through the darkness of this world to the grace of your love. Lord Jesus, we come to you at this time not only to pray for ourselves and for our own needs, but also and especially for others. We all know of people who suffer, people who are in need, people within our own circle of family, friends and acquaintances, people from within our own church family. And Father, we can visualize many of these people in our mind's eye, and we can also visualize them, Lord, with your loving arms around them, loving them, lifting them up, and granting to them, Lord, the peace and the healing of your holy presence. We ask you, Father, to hear our silent prayers as we whisper their names now. Holy Spirit, hold fast to us, that we might stand firm in our Lord. Be with us at all times, that we might wait upon the Lord our God. Fill us with your gifts, that we might worthily serve you, as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, as we seek to bring glory and honour to his most holy name. Almighty Father, hear our prayers. Hear also the prayers of our hearts, which are borne to you by your Holy Spirit. Forgive us our sins. Accept the praise we bring, for we come to you, Lord, in all things, in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning. Our first reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The second reading today from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to chapter 4, verse 1. "Join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters, and just as you have used us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends."
Thank you, David, for those readings from the scriptures today. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory the hymn 395, "Teach Me Thy Way."
Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every year, Fat Tuesday, that is Mardi Gras down in New Orleans, every year, Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras comes to an abrupt end at midnight. At the stroke of midnight, the New Orleans police close down the festivities in reverence for Ash Wednesday, the next day, which is, of course, the first day of Lent. We tend to think of Lent as a time when we shut down something in our lives, when we give something up. Chocolate, eating candies, watching TV, or whatever it may be. If you want a real challenge, try giving up your cell phone for 40 days. Now there's a challenge for you. Nora Gallagher, when entering church on Ash Wednesday, encounters a friend. And when asked what she was giving up, she answered, "Well, Anne's giving up drinking, Terry's giving up chocolate, and me, I'm just giving up." Did you ever feel like that? You know, you've got so much to do, so much pressure on you, I just feel like giving up. Just give up. That was the advice given to Jesus by a group of friendly Pharisees in today's lectionary reading from St. Luke's Gospel. "Herod is after you. He will have you killed. Get away while you can. Just give up. Give up your work in this area." King Herod saw himself as a roaring lion. But Jesus likened him to a sly fox. "Go and tell that fox that I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal." Jesus' message to Herod, "I will do what I must do, for you have no power over God's kingdom." Jesus is saying, "I am a citizen of heaven and God lives in me." That's his message that he sends to that sly fox Herod. Now then, if you would, I want you to let your imagination run wild for a little while, and I want you to imagine yourself as a house. Okay? You are a house. Any kind of a house will do, just so that it's yours. It's your house. Now for some, that might be a great big castle, safe and secure. For others, it might be a rustic cabin, tucked away in the woods somewhere, peaceful, quiet. For others still, it may be a retirement home, a rocking chair on the front porch, and a garden full of vegetables and fruits. Now then, have you got the picture? Do you have your house in your mind that you are? Okay, someone comes onto the porch, knocks on your door, rings your bell. Who would they find inside? Who lives in you? We all live in houses of some sort or another, and our houses present an exterior image. But what goes on inside the house? What is the house like inside? Is it the same as the image that is reflected on the outside? What is the inside of you like? Who lives in you? And that is the question for us to address on this second Sunday of Lent. What guides your decisions? Who sets the course for your life? What determines the way that you think and treat others around you? I think most of us would like to say that it is our Christian faith that determines who we are and what we are. But is that really so? There are two kinds of people who could be at home inside of you: a citizen of the world or a citizen of heaven. Think back over the past week. Think about the decisions that you've made. Who made those decisions? Was it a citizen of the world, or was it a citizen of heaven? Recall the way that you reacted to those around you in various situations that you found yourself in. Think about the way that you treated other people. Who was present then? Was it a citizen of heaven? a child of God that is present in us? Or is it a stranger of this world, one who thinks primarily of self, one whose actions fail to reflect our allegiance to God? Who lives in you? What stirs you each day of your life? Yeah, we would like to answer that it is our Christian faith. We'd like that to be the answer. But is that the truth? Our Christian faith is more than just a set of doctrines and creeds and turning up here once a week or once a month or however often we come. Our Christian faith is the way that we live, the set of moral principles and standards that guide the decisions that we make each day. And it is reflected in the words that we use and by our reactions to life around us. It is our record of worship, our record of devotion to scripture reading, our attention to prayer. The reality of our Christian faith is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The same kind of response Jesus gave to those Pharisees. Look, he says, watch me, see how I act. I go about my business. I will continue to care for the sick. I will continue to proclaim God's word. The question for this Sunday of Lent is, who lives in you? The answer must always be, Christ lives in me. The same love, the same life, the same power of God that was present in Jesus is alive in me, in you. I am a citizen of heaven. God is my Father, and it is up to me to live according to that citizenship. The season of Lent calls us to look within ourselves and to seriously ask ourselves the question, who lives in me? It calls us to be honest with ourselves and to admit that even though we claim to be citizens of heaven, we like to be known as citizens of heaven, sometimes we live as strangers before God. Located on the Mount of Olives, overlooking Jerusalem and the Kidron Valley, is a church called Dominus Flevit Church. Dominus Flevit Church. That is Latin, so my pronunciation may not be quite spot on, but you get the idea. The window that you see on the right side of this building, it looks right out over the Kidron Valley and then to Jerusalem. The church is built in the shape of a teardrop, and it is believed to be the very same spot where Jesus stood when he lamented and wept over Jerusalem. Dominus Flevit, that Latin phrase, means the Lord wept. Inside the church is a mosaic which depicts the words from our gospel reading today, where Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. You would not have it. Jesus is God. This is God speaking. Who do we think God is speaking to? Is he actually speaking to the city of Jerusalem, as he seems to be? Or is Jesus reaching out and speaking to a much wider audience? Is he speaking to the world and to the world today, to you and to me? God created people, he created all of us to share his love. He loves us and he wants to be loved in return. And over the years, even when mankind turned away from God, God would pursue them and call them back to him. The good shepherd left the 99 sheep to go and look for the one that had strayed. Why? Because that one sheep is greatly loved by the shepherd. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they didn't go searching for God, they hid. God searched for them. Jacob didn't go out into the desert looking for a wrestling match with God, but God pursued Jacob. And at that time, he changed his name to Israel. When Israel's descendants would continually wander away from God, it was God who pursued them. God sent prophet after prophet, and each prophet had the same message. Turn your heart back to God because he loves you, and he wants you to come back to him. But the prophets were rejected, and frequently they were stoned. And with those prophets, God was also rejected. The more God showed his love over the years, the more mankind turned a deaf ear. And then God did the unthinkable. God, the creator of everything, the whole world, the whole universe, everything and everyone in it. When they wouldn't listen to the prophets, then surely they would listen to God himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish as we deserve to, but have eternal life. Such was his great love that he left his glorious home in heaven to walk this earth, to speak personally to the hard hearts of men and women. And again, they rejected him. We read in St. John chapter 1, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I think there was pain in the heart of God over his people whom he had created. Oh, my people, he says, oh, my people, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you are not willing. And that unwillingness continues today. Just as God called Israel to respond to his love, he calls on each and every one of us. He pursues us. He loves us. He wants us. He wants to draw us back. Sometimes we claim to be citizens of heaven, yet we live as strangers to God because we think that no one will notice the difference. After all, we're not as bad as others we see around us, are we? We come to church. We do plan on reading the Bible and saying our prayers sometimes, don't we? But the season of Lent is to remind us that God knows. God knows who lives in you. He knows. We may fool ourselves, we may even fool those around us, but we can never ever fool God. God reads the human heart, and God knows who lives in your house. Who lives in you? How does your life reflect Jesus' love? In Matthew 6 and verse 24, Jesus teaches us that no one can serve two masters. Two people cannot live in you and be at peace with each other. Your mind will be in a turmoil. You will be restless. You will never be at peace. Either we live as people whose lives are orientated to the world, who strive for happiness and fulfillment in the things of the world, or we find our peace and our joy in Christ. Both kinds of people cannot live under the same roof. In verse 35 of this gospel scripture today, Jesus says, "Luke, your house is left to you desolate. Luke, your house is left to you desolate." I wonder what he means. I wonder who Jesus means. Questions to ponder during the time of Lent, along with that other question of who lives in you. Thanks be to God. Amen. And for our closing hymns today, first of all, stalling for time, giving Pat time to get the piano ready and get ourselves sorted, we stand and sing to the glory of God. 376, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Tapping again. 312, "To Be God's People."
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen.